This is Lauren Bond, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
In this round, we were trying to figure out how to get it to Altadena. We knew that there is the soil need for the scraping, and there was the soil that needed to get off the road again, because it created the same landslide and actually ruined the road. It's still only a one lane in one part of the Route 27. So we were like, okay, we've got these logs, we've got these soil, we know other people want this. It would make a lot of sense to move that to Altadena because when they scrape, they're gonna need new soil. The problem was they had to get the soil off the road as quickly as possible. Army Corps hadn't scraped the sites yet, and so there was this misalignment of timing. And so we also tried finding parking lots and things up there where we could dump the soil, like parking lots, which weren't being used and other things. And ran into, again, a lot of issues with government and city and the officials not being able to act quickly enough. In fact, yeah, we were really trying to get soil to the Altadena Community Garden because they were getting theirs scraped. And we took that pile thinking that we'd be able to get it to them because it wasn't going to align. And we're like, well, we'll just move it when you're ready. And we then figured out it was going to be like $17,000 to move that soil over. And so it became not financially feasible. But had we been able to put it in a location right next to it, it would have been really feasible. They just need a loader to move it. All that being said, one of the reasons we host these and have these tours is not just to show you guys what we're working on, but to like really talk about it as a community and like what we can do and what we can brainstorm together. Because, you know, we are super fortunate and really lucky here and have this amazing resource and get to do all these really awesome experiments and kind of learn lessons from the land, but we're still so tiny, we're a drop in the bucket, right? And we all need to kind of come together and figure out the different ways that we could make the city healthy and repairable. And yeah, everything's only intensifying. So with that, we have all these different topics, which we could also add more if you have ideas for others, really to start thinking about any of the things that we talked about today around like how do we enact change? And like we have policy up here and we can talk through that as well. But like we also like to think about, you know, knowing where we're at with the government and lots of things that are happening. We know that like just adding a new policy, if we could even get that to happen, would be really far out, right? Like years and years probably to get anything real to happen. So a lot of what we try to focus on, although we're open to all ideas, is really thinking about how we as a community and as a group can kind of help make people understand how important these resources are and how we can kind of make a more sustainable Los Angeles.
And yeah, just to add some further clarity on that call, I'm sure a lot of you are expecting in a tour to just receive information, but the reality is we see you as real actors out into the real world in being able to enact this to scale, right? Someone asked during the tour, why doesn't Lauren just buy a laydown yard and make the soil banking a reality with our philanthropy? That's certainly possible, but the reality is the work of the studio is only a drop in the bucket in terms of like what actually has to happen across the county and our region. And the studio cannot take it all on its own. It's gonna take each and every one of you take these ideas, run with them, to advocate for them, to mobilize them and enact them, even in small scales throughout our community, for it to actually be timely and effective, right? And so the things that we have here are sort of our ways to start thinking about how we can empower you and ourselves as a network of people who want to make change, to like start thinking through these ways that we could do it. So for instance, what kind of policy changes need to happen? Do we need to draft some new laws or refine some of the existing ones that we have? How do we coordinate a system of soil banking to scale? What do we need to learn, or who do we need to teach? What does that look like? Safety, what type of safety precautions do we still need to address or haven't addressed? Or what do we need to articulate in terms of safety for community or for policymakers or for other allies to take this on? Who is this for? Who is involved? How are we going to pay for all this? Is it suitable to move soil from one place to another? Are there limits to the suitability? Strategies. How can we strategize coordination or education or mobilizing community or enacting policy? And are there other people who might serve as good allies in this movement? Does that make sense? So now we're throwing it onto you. Do you have any thoughts, questions, ideas? How do we fix this? Clearly we have a problem. Where do we go from here?
Anyone? No pressure. I know there's lots of ideas.
Or questions,
yeah,
too, from based on what you saw today.
I'm almost ashamed to say that it's a, that could be like a business opportunity. You can sell the soil. There's people that want to buy it.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, it's like we're right now not, you know, it'd be nice if we didn't have to use any money, right? Mm-hmm. No capitalism. But yeah, I mean, we have to make it viable while we're still in the systems that we're in. How would we do that? And last week at the tour, there was somebody mentioned the same thing. It was like somebody else had mentioned, oh, if we could get funding from the city that the community could actually run a soil banking idea. Like, so we're like, well, what if you guys both like work together, because you could actually fund it and have it paid for and fund the community to do it, right? So it's a business, but it's actually a community owned business. It would be really awesome.
Also, we have a side venture in our studio where we work on restoration in the city. So a lot of us here are involved with these restoration sites. It's like a community-led initiative to, it's part like restoration, part native garden, but it would be really wonderful to experiment with the soil too on our sites.
Yeah, are you talking about Tesla?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you guys have a location where you store materials?
No, we don't have a, so I would say one of, how should I say this? Like, I think with TestPlot, there's like a twofold thing of, one is participatory, just having people get their hands dirty and like feel invested in the land. There's also the restoration side of it, which I think is maybe a weaker side of it, as far as, where are we sourcing plants from?
Yeah.
We aren't really, even palliative plants sometimes is a little outside of native, or like locally specific range. Yeah. Genetics is a issue. So like, but at the same time, we are identifying sites within public space that are environmentally degraded, and there's a need for some kind of restoration. So I think like something about identifying places that can accept the soil or that could use it, and then, because that seems like the thing that's interesting to me is like identifying when these landslides happen, where they are, and then where like, where's the most nearby place that could be readily available to use the soil, I guess,
yeah,
is something I'm thinking about.
And the like soil amounts that are happening are like massive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's also all the soil that we haven't even touched, just because we don't have a handle on this yet, is all the soil that was coming down from the Altadena fires into all those basins, the debris basins, and a lot of that is actually clean.
Right.
And it's like a huge amount of soil, and it's constantly, I think, being moved as well.
So right. There is so much material, but like, yeah, how do we, like, we also have to make it financially feasible for the hauling company, right? Yeah. They're not going to do one load. Do they need multiple truckloads? Which is where the, like, lay down yards. So if you're working mostly in, you know, Elysian Park or Griffith Park, then it's like, can we get a temporary 3 month, 6 month permit?
Right. They already have the free giant mulch pile. Could there be the soil storing pile or slash don't just donation pile? I don't know.
What is Chip Drop, an organization? Do you know Chip Drop?
Yeah.
It's not a perfect system, but it is a system, and it has worked for us. You have to just be ready to accept a large amount of something at one time, and there's a disclaimer for it. I don't know what that system could be, but as architects, we are always like working on sites that, you know, are being developed and there's soil moving around and as you know, people have to pay.
We don't know when it's going to happen. It's an immediate need, and then it needs to be cleared as quickly as possible. But so something needs to be developed in order to have that happen. New York City actually does soil banking. It's a project that they've had for about 8 years, and it's for construction sites. And so we've been interested in looking into that as well. And I think Tree People is also kind of looking at soil banking. Yeah, I mean, so Caltrans is actually, I mean, it's really interesting. Caltrans is the one who's in charge of the roads, right? And so they're the ones who have the money anytime these landslides happen, and they're the ones that pay out. So that landslide soil from Topanga, it was meant, they were going to have to haul it to the closest landfill, and it was going to be $100 a truckload, which is an insane amount of money that is our money, right? We're paying for that in addition to just the hauling of it. So, like, I think part of this is like, how do we look at that money to like put into these systems? But yeah, different city orgs. LA San is really tied in with the mulch and all of that stuff. But again, it's a little, the city is deeply in a deficit. And I can only imagine what everything that's going on now is going to put us into even more. So part of this is how can we be creative and try to like either work outside of those orgs or get, city departments, or how do we like propose to them what we think that could happen that would be an easy sign off and a big win. And that was part of the Caltrans thing. They didn't want to tell anyone what we were doing or that we were taking the soil, but then after it, they opened the road, they're like, oh, look at it, none of our soil went to, you know, a landfill. So like you have to give them a win. Like politicians and departments, they want wins. So like how do we give that to them and then get what we want?
Just thinking about Caltrans, I think there's like a good argument that they could have some better practices overall, and perhaps they should use that soil internally to revegetate like highway side landscapes. They're one of the largest water users in the entire state and are just planting lantana everywhere still. And I think there could be a good argument that like maybe you guys can find use for this and you're bad planting, you know, reinventing the way you're thinking about planting. I don't know, just a thought about Caltrans.
No, 100%. I work with Caltrans and...
I worked with Caltrans and tried to get some edge conditions changed, and like that would take probably 100 years to get anybody there to change their mind, which is I think why we talk about post-legitimate and being able to like skirt the boundaries in a lot of ways for certain things as well. So like if we had a truck where we took the soil and maybe we just like had a little one of those little concrete mixing like little funnel things, we just drove along the street. I'm not saying we would do that because that would be illegal, but like if anybody had the artistic idea, because part of this is also like this is an art practice, right? And so how you label things temporary and whatever, which is how Lauren, one of the reasons Lauren got the water right permit is because she was an artist doing a water wheel, and it excited a lot of people instead of, oh, I'm going to put in some infrastructure.
I was just thinking, as you guys were all sharing, that I feel like, especially this year and like the past decade, everyone, including myself, has lost a lot of trust in the policy system and how things are enacted, and especially with the environment. So me and my friends have been really trying to lay more of the responsibility on ourselves and community instead of like entrusting the government or on local or federal levels to help us and like to save us. So I feel like, and I do not come from a landscape architecture background at all, so you can tell me if this is crazy or not. Well, first off, I think much stricter regulations need to happen across the board through like a very collaborative approach that includes researchers, policy experts, but also just community members, which is why like I really appreciate you asking us, which is I think really important, and education. I guess just literally everything that's on the board already is what I'm trying to say. Like we have to come at it from an extremely interdisciplinary and collaborative approach. So like meetings like this are really important. And I think just organizing events within our neighborhoods is, I think, the easiest and most feasible way to go about it right now. Because everyone has neighbors. It just really takes a conversation from neighbor to neighbor to neighbor, just saying hi on a neighborhood walk or something, and, you know, making those connections, because under capitalism, they don't want that. Like, they want us to be very separate and to just trust that they will help us so that they can have more control over us. So I don't think capitalism is going anywhere anytime soon, but I don't know if you guys are familiar with degrowth, the environmental movement. Yeah, so they are very based off of like mutual aid. So I think just implementing things like that within the neighborhood through like neighborhood committees, events, I feel like that's like a tradition that has gotten lost over time with like social media and everything. So just, and like with the soil thing, I'm not sure if I fully understand it, but even just like a neighborhood compost, like I feel like a lot of the LA public library system just started handing out free compost bins, which I thought was pretty cool, actually, of them. So I feel like I've been seeing them around more lately, too, just around my neighborhood. I'm like, that would be so cool if we could have, like, a community garden just to be more feasible, even if it's just in someone's backyard that's willing to host. I'm not sure exactly how to implement that on a larger scale, but I think it starts, like, within the neighborhood. So I feel like that's important to think about.
Love that so much. I think that is, like, 100% what we're trying to, like, what kind of the direction we're hoping that we can go in, right? Because we have to save ourselves and each other, and not just soil and all of that, but for all these different aspects, right? Everything's tied together. And, you know, hopefully what you see is, like, you don't actually need to be an expert. Right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to be a landscape architect to do this type of thing. Because actually traditional ecological knowledge, it's not like people were being given landscape architecture degrees, right? Like, if we start paying attention to the systems and what exists and what the land is telling us, that's what we can learn from each other, all of these different things, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, landscape and soil might not be one person's thing, but then doing care and cooking is also part of this whole ecosystem. So it's all interrelated, and, you know, there's experts for certain things, but a lot of this is, you know, we teach each other, we learn from each other, and it's not rocket science. Probably need an expert for that. But, you know, a lot of living systems. Thank you.